Hey guys, how's it going?
Awesome, good. Manny.
How are you?
I'm good. It's like a new year, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like the styrofoam's kind of falling off. Everyone's getting a brand new start to everything. No?
Yep.
Is that what 2025 is feeling like?
Just like 24 and 23.
I can still hear the squeezy, you know.
And 22 and 21. 21, maybe not.
It's been a rough 5 years, eh? 4 years for business, construction.
Fucking,
It's not getting better. Is it getting better?
I don't think so. If you want to go down the political rabbit hole.
We can, but that's why the bottle of Aguardent is over there, right? So that's Portuguese moonshine. People are scared when they reach out to me and they ask me, how do you think 2025 is looking? And I was like, it's going to be worse than 2024. And I just tell them, start preparing for the rebound. Start getting all your ducks in a row to make your business more efficient, to make it more attainable, where you could do some good and make some money for shorter periods of time, right? I think everybody right now is like, they're doing the classic, you're trying to get your hand in everything to see what you can try to make money in, right? And that's the worst thing you can do, no?
It's scary, right? A lot of people have been forced into survival mode.
100%. 100%.
And they're not helping. Like, you know, it's a killer be killed attitude out there. And, you know, when you're going to work every day with that in the back of your mind, the front of your mind, both sides, it's, you know.
You can't think clearly. And then you can't come up with new ideas. And you can't think about what can I do to make the business, make the workforce, everything better.
Yeah, you need to focus on one thing. And it's that good old, like, 80-20 rule, right? Focus on that 80% that's driving the most success, and you'll be better off for it.
I think the worst thing that most construction companies right now can do is just take whatever work's coming.
Focus,
You still got to vet. You still got to focus. You still got to pay attention. You got to question whether or not this is going to be a bad job, a bad client, a bad situation.
Bad job could bury you, man.
Yeah, especially now in this time. How difficult everything is, right?
And a difficult client can bury you too, because heart attacks happen a lot because of that shit.
On the client side or on the contractor side?
On the contractor side.
It's funny, eh? All the social media guys are all getting older now and realizing that this could be affecting their health. Mm. 10 years ago, they're all young, vibrant, you know, healthy. Nothing could beat me down. Yeah. Now they're realizing, hang on a sec, this is affecting me when I get up, when I go to sleep. Yeah. It's a different landscape. I'm trying to be honest with everybody when they reach out, right? But I think it's hard to be a 20-something in the construction industry and not realizing what being a 30-something or 40-something in the construction industry, what it's really going to be like, right? You can prepare for it. I'm not saying get out of construction. That's the last thing. I mean, unfortunately, I've been hearing a lot of people fold up shop and leave. They've taken too many hits.
But where do they leave to?
That's a good question.
They're working for other people. Still in the industry, but they've left the entrepreneurial spirit. That's it, because it's beating them down. That's the unfortunate thing.
So what was it that was actually beating them down of it?
Clients not paying.
Yeah.
And I say that that's always avoidable if you set up your business a certain way. Like, if you prepare for it and be blunt and just be open with the client and just don't let them get ahead of you to like 5 figures, 6 figures, sometimes even 7 figures, right? Where it just destroys your business at that point.
It's also keeping visibility on what's actually happening throughout the job. A lot of guys, when they either don't do it when it comes to like job costing, it's either an afterthought or it doesn't happen at all. So, you know, keeping an eye on how the actual project is running is an essential ingredient to survival. A lot of these guys are getting murdered on margins because they're looking at it at the end, hoping that they can, you know, backfill the... It's scary.
But this is construction. When things are running smooth, we don't pay attention to what potentially might go wrong.
Yeah.
That's when you should be paying attention if something's going to go wrong, right? But we don't do it.
Yeah, that's the only time you're going to have that too. Insight. For sure.
Everybody.
Yeah, right? Like, everybody's like that.
I compare, you know, the being an entrepreneur like being a parent. You ever talk to other parents? What's it like having a kid? We're pregnant, and the parent is always going to do their best to explain it, but nothing is going to prepare you for what
until
it's like.
You experience it.
And this is the same for being an entrepreneur. You have to love it, love the journey, love the business that you're building. It can't just be about money. Yes, it has to be about money too, no doubt about it. Otherwise, you know, the celebration, the pursuit of it takes a different
And that's when the stress comes in.
And that's when the stress comes in. But that's the thing about being an entrepreneur. When the stress comes, because it's not an if, it's a when the stress comes. And it's not going to come in a little bit. It's going to come in droves, consistently, over a long period of time. You look at anybody that's ever done it. Small company, middle, medium-sized company, mega company. Everyone, no, none of them will talk about the 5 years of breeze development. It was, oh, I don't know what these other business owners are talking about. It was fucking fantastic. We were on vacation. 98.
They talk about it afterwards. They talk about it after they've gone through it and survived it, right? That's when they talk about it.
But that's what it is. But it's never a, oh, that was a breeze. It was fucking torture for 15 years. And then it got really cool.
It's the clock thing that really bothers me, right? Because listen, I've done enough shows and I've spoken to enough people how it's like you get all this motivational kind of aura coming around you, but nobody ever tells you, listen, it's going to be 5 years of pure fucking shit.
Agony.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you know what 5 years is? Think about you changing from 29 to 34. Pick your age gap or whatever. That's more than the time that you spent in high school, unless you were really stupid. But more than the time you spent in post school, you know, unless you were really lucky or whatever. Like, it's just like, that's a long, long time of just pure shit. And the thing is, if you can't figure out a way to learn from it and build from it and be better, so then the next 5 years will be better, that's on you,
right? I think they anticipate the hustle, you know, the hustle within those years, but they don't anticipate the shit of it. Like the stress, like you guys were talking about, whether it's financial, you know, people not paying on time or managing people or managing clients or managing vendors, like all of that can be overwhelming, man. Like
it's not overwhelming for a day.
It's overwhelming for 5 years.
Yeah. If not longer sometimes. If not longer.
We're getting ahead. I got some questions to ask, but I mean, obviously Nick and Agustin are back in the studio here. Revelate.com. You guys can reach out to them at nick@revelate.com and also on IG under revelate.inc. And then I want to let everybody know that you're offering a 30-day free trial.
Yeah.
So go online, sign up, reach out to you. Is that how it works?
No, go online, build your own tool.
Okay.
Push the button, you'll get it in 24 hours and you can start fiddling around with
something. And that's what we're going to talk about on the show, right? But I want to ask you guys to start off with, at any point in any construction entrepreneur tradesperson's career, can you reinvent yourself?
I think so.
I totally think so. I think you can pump the brakes, stop everything, going, listen, this is all not working. Well, maybe not all of it not working, but a big portion of it is not working. Maybe it's time I reinvent and then just go that route, right?
McDonald's, Walmart.
Reinvent. So why can't you apply that to construction? You can.
Absolutely.
Right? It's still a business. Mm-hmm.
Now is the time, if ever. You know, you go back to what you were talking about earlier. You know, times aren't getting easier. But it's not hard. It's not challenging enough that the job is hard and the environment is getting harder. Being able to have something to help you focus, put you back in the driving seat, taking control of the company and doing what you do. We talk about all the pieces, all the facets that going into being a business owner.
But I would say you don't want it to be easy.
Oh, but that's part of the gig. If it's not consistently challenging, by definition, it's not growing.
You won't be on your toes and you won't be able to figure out what's my next move or how do I handle this situation. You want it to be challenging, right?
1,000%. But you also want to be in a position of your company where you're building your company, not working for your company.
But nobody in construction, what I see is they don't really ask themselves the hard questions. As long as the money's coming, everything's flowing, you're paying, your payroll's being taken care of, your suppliers are being fed, the clients are happy and the work is moving forward. But nobody ever stops and thinks, and I'm talking to all the entrepreneurs and the GCs and the site guys, I'm talking about, you never stop and go, listen, is everything really good here? Is everything really moving well? Is it could it be better? I don't think they ask themselves.
You've seen it, Manny. I mean, but what, like, what are those questions? What should they be asking themselves on a regular
basis? I was just going to say, I don't think a lot of times people even know what to ask.
You should be looking at yourself and going, listen, 5 years ago when I started this business and I came up with the cool logo and the cool business card and the cool van and the cool sticker and the cool box and all these other cool gifts that come up at holiday times and shit like that. Mm. When I was there 5 years ago, is this where I'm supposed to be? I guarantee you 99% of the trades out there and the business owners out there, no. They probably thought they'd be further along. Instead, maybe yeah, 5 years ago, they said, I'm going to be doing my first house in 5 years. And my first house is going to have a budget of $1 million. Then they ended up getting a house that was maybe 500 grand when they could have been, they should have been shooting for that $1 million house. And then so 5 years from now, going forward, mm-hmm. you should be working on five houses at a cost of 1.5. How do I get to that point? I'm just asking all these questions. Yeah. And I don't think these are the questions that people are asking. And you need to streamline your business to the point where you can achieve those goals down the line 5 years from now, if not sooner, right?
So, yeah. Like, we talk about this one all the time when we sit with somebody. So, what are the pieces of a company? What shouldn't they be doing?
That's a good question.
Because, you know, you're the owner, and I feel like a lot of guys feel like they need to have they need to have their hands on everything. It might not be full control.
Because it makes them appear as if everything's running smooth, but it's not.
But so what are the pieces they should say, okay, it's time to either build a system for it or give it to somebody to do?
I would say start getting rid of all the tasks that you're doing as a business owner and start delegating those tasks to other people. Because the amount of stress that was taken off of my shoulders when I started building more, and I was hiring more because I didn't, even though I knew how to do every single trade, I wanted to hire somebody that was more, more experienced in that trade. Yep. The one that has focus on that trade. They did a much better job than I could have done, and they actually did it faster. So the one problem that construction guys do, and girls, they don't look at the business side of that mm-hmm. aspect. So the same way you're hiring the so-called best trim carpenter, tile setter, anybody that to handle the finishing, you should be doing the best paper organizer, CRM, all that count, all that stuff.
Estimator, project manager, everybody. Accountant, bookkeeper, everything. Yeah,
you know, the proof is in the pencil, right? Like that's where all the dollars are. If you start, and that's where you guys come in talking about that stuff. Where I always said in the beginning, if you spend a week looking for the best trim trade that you want to hire on this job because this is a really challenging job, you're going to spend that exact same amount of time figuring out the paperwork side of the business. If you're not spending 10 hours looking for that trade and you're not spending 10 hours looking for that paper person, mm-hmm. then your business is failing, in my opinion. Is that true or not?
110%.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention to the numbers and the information that's coming in about your business, about the actual project, about progress on the project, like we talk about this a lot. Data is access to gold when you're paying attention to the right information. And if you set up the systems that help you pay attention to the right information, you can now make decisions about your company that yesterday you would never have been able to do. What is that? Why is that important? One, because it keeps you in control of the company. And two, it puts you in a position to think proactively. When things need to change, you're not thinking about it when it's too late. You're thinking about it before it's too late and now can actually do something about it with your team who also has visibility on what's happening because you've created the systems in your organization to actually run a business successfully.
Am I fair to say that being proactive saves you time, being reactive costs you time?
Every time. No pun intended.
Yeah, no, it's true though, right? Yeah. But construction is notorious for being reactive.
Like all those guys that were telling you that the most difficult part was getting paid. Were they even sending out their invoices on time?
Yeah, they were sending them out. The problem is that in today's landscape, it's a different kind of mindset, right? That's why I always told everybody, everything was great during the pandemic. Everybody was spending, everybody mm-hmm. was doing projects and everybody was making money. It was great. It was wonderful, right? Yeah. As soon as that started to kind of take a shift, I said, don't overextend yourself. Because those same people that everything is great, when they actually sit down, I'm talking about clients, homeowners, projects, builders, whatever, and they figure out what their numbers are at, we don't have the money to pay you. So you don't want to get caught in that musical chair, right?
Well, yeah, that was like to my point. I've talked to guys where they're 3, 4, 5, 6 months behind their invoicing. So yeah, those guys finally are just, do send that invoice. Yeah. You're right. Your client or GC or vendor doesn't have their cash flow to now pay you because they were anticipating it months ago, right?
Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. They're being left behind too from wherever their money's coming in. So it just trickles down. If you're last man standing, that's the unfortunate thing. Mm-hmm. So just prepare for that. So that, I mean, the unfortunate thing is that it takes a few. It's not just one. Sometimes it takes three or four. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get a trade or entrepreneur business and it's like three or four jobs are not paying them.
Yeah.
That's takes probably a toll, right? Stress wise, because they have no money coming in to take care of their bills, right?
It's like a tidal wave.
Yeah, it's 100%. So how do you handle that then? Well, you got to get ahead of it.
You got to get ahead of it. You got to build the system, hire the team for it. Like a lot of the times when we talk about building those systems, right? Like obviously we build custom software to handle all this stuff, but it's still not a matter of, you know, augmenting or helping out with those tasks, but you still want your team so you could delegate those tasks and they could have an organized system to actually do it efficiently. Like you don't want to hand them a pile of your receipts and an Excel sheet that's been manipulated a million times, that formulas are all wrong. Like you want them to have the proper tools to be able to do that efficiently, get that invoice out, get that estimate out on time, on budget, and have your job costing so you can see all those metrics and, you know, accurately make an informed decision along the way. So you could proactively, right? You want to proactively make decisions along the way rather than waiting for your accountant to tell you that you're screwed 6 months later.
Yeah. Cause that's what, you know, that's the problem. It's I've spent money at Home Depot. I forgot to report it. So the actual numbers on the job are not the numbers on the job.
Real numbers.
You know what I mean? So we're doing great. And then you guys are closing up and you're we gotta see if we can. And it doesn't always happen because now it's the end of the project. The contract has been paid out and practically fulfilled. And now you want to try and figure out how you're going to tie up loose ends when, if this was 6 months ago, you know, you wouldn't have missed that change order or you would have been able to.
You could always make up time if you have more time throughout the project, right?
Like, and you have clear visibility of what's happening today. Because that's the other thing. The construction is extremely dynamic.
Yeah.
Things change. It's not every hour. It's much faster than that most times. So to be able to have something that's with you to keep up with that kind of flux puts you in a different position of how things are actually running on your projects as well as the company, because now you're not just looking at it on a project by project basis. You're tying everything together because now, hey, you know what? We can afford to take on that project and help that guy out because we're doing okay on these other ones or whatever it happens to be. But now building a brand, building recognition in your community, building, you know, building that culture, building that vision that you started the company for, now it becomes practical because you have everything in front of you to make that decision.
Do you guys think that it's, when it comes to all that software and all that back end and setting all that stuff up, is it because it's just intimidating to the average business owner because they physically can't see it? A business owner, like in construction, builds a house. It's a tangible, here's my product. Mm-hmm. I walked away from it at the end of the day. This is what we achieved today. And then you can do that for any business owner. It's the same thing. I sell widgets and here's the pot. This is how many widgets I sold today, right? So I can touch this. But when it comes to this software and trying to set up your business, business owners can't see it, right? Is that a challenging step for them?
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Okay.
That's what our free trial is for.
And that's why what Revelate is. Revelate built a company understanding a particular issue. The issue is everybody needs software to help them run the business aspects of the business easier than what they're doing now, but nobody likes software because it's a pain in the ass to use, or it's a heavy cost to run. So then you start doing a cost benefit analysis, and I don't know if I'm actually going to run this. I'll just pay somebody to do it and they'll take care of it. So Revelate said, okay, let's come up with a solution that says, you tell us the jobs, the tasks, the functions in your organization that you want help with, and we will build the feature modularly, just as you describe. I have to build a kitchen. I have to put in the basement. I have to put in the master suite. Yeah. We're going to build it to your exact spec. So one, it's doing the jobs that you need it to do. No fluff or bullshit. And then two, we're going to build it so that you understand how to use it. So now there's no master's degree or extreme learning curve or a month to sit with the software team to figure out all of the little portals and shit. And then you're not going to spend $1,000 a month, $4,000 a month, $10,000 a month. Ever.
So that's how we take that intimidating aspect out of the whole software side of things, because now you don't have to change your workflow or adapt to a software platform. Like, we're building it for you the way you already work. We're just now digitizing it and making it more efficient.
Can you guys, like, I want to talk about the cost. I want to talk about the procedures, right? So is there a recent business, ideally, if it's a construction business, can you guys walk us through, you know, you don't have to divulge their business or their name, whatever, but what they came to you with, and then what you ended up building from that, and then where they are today?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for one, they're all construction, because that's all we
do. Okay. All right, good. Yeah. Perfect. You're on the right show.
Yeah.
All right.
Two, I mean, I always like to go to the big brands. I'm not going to mention any names, but they're one of the big software companies in the space.
Two of them, actually.
Starts with a B.
Well, I know you're talking about, and it ends with an end.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to say any names. Awesome tool. But the reality of it is, we don't believe, and this is our opinion, professional opinion, we don't believe it was built for the small, medium.
No, that's level the first thing company. I said when I first saw it for the very first time at IDS 10 years ago, whatever it was, and they tried to explain it to me. I just like, it's great, but I'm not building 1,000 houses.
I think that they're awesome if you have, you know, a project manager full time sitting in an office and your whole team is there.
Yeah.
Then absolutely, like, it's meant for that. But when you're on the road and maybe you have a handful of employees, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can't.
And now we're not mentioning any names. Right? We don't know who we're talking about. But so, mid-level company, about 30 employees, spending $3,000 a month, using 10% of the tool. We built the features.
Were they getting a growth from the tool?
Growth.
That's my number one question.
Growth. So this is the thing I think people get tied to. Growth is a function, as a byproduct of efficiency. So it's not, the tool isn't going to start selling projects for you.
But isn't that what the tool, or how the tool is sold to the public? We will help you grow.
I don't know which tool you're speaking of.
We will help you grow your business.
I think all these tools, all these
platforms, that's the one sentiment. Like,
they all say that, and that's why you won't see that in any of our campaigns. Because
we're going to help you save time. We're going to help you do things smarter, but we're not selling projects for you. No, that's not going to happen.
That's on you.
We're not going to swing a hammer.
No.
Sorry.
You guys are making things more efficient and maximizing the tool, right?
This way you have the time to then go sell.
Yes.
That's the idea. So maybe from that perspective, one could argue, but outside of that perspective.
But absolutely. This business, so they were spending $3,000 a month.
They're using maybe 10% of the features. Maybe call it high side 20%. Just really be conservative.
So what was the other 80% doing? Just sitting there idling?
Because the features,
What we find that people are doing with these platforms, and just not one, a lot of them, is that, let's say there's an estimating feature of it. They've created their process internally in their company to be a certain way. So then let's say they have their Excel sheet that they're using, then they've created that over the last 30 years because they have certain metrics that they want to price their jobs to. Yep. Maybe they want to show a certain markup or not. And they're using one of those softwares, the Otterbox softwares. Now they're using both. They're using the Otterbox software with an estimating feature, but because it can't do everything that they want to the way that they've created their internal process now, they're using both. You know, using their Excel sheet to create all the math for them, the markups, and then going to the software and just punching in the final numbers. So they could create a nice PDF. That's not using
the software.
Hence why people come to us.
You might as well just have a blackboard and just write down and make lists. Or just
use the Excel. Yeah. Right? And then, you know, pretty it up, but it still goes back to the time and efficiency thing. So where we really try to shine here is in customization.
But do you guys show your clients growth? Or hang on, do you guys show your clients the potential of growth in their business?
We definitely don't mislead them on this platform is going to grow your company.
Okay.
But we do tell them that it will save you the time to now spend your time on actually
and that's growth.
With growth.
Yes, yes, but we're not going to use those kinds of terms to sell it. Is there something you're doing on a daily basis you don't want to be doing? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can help you with that. Is there something that's taking way too long or keeping you from leaving the office? Because what we're seeing, especially in the office, is I'll do it later.
Yeah.
A lot of I'll do it later.
Yeah.
And then 5 o'clock comes. Shit, I got to get that out. So now I got to run back to the office. I'm there till 8 o'clock. Then I go home, I eat something, and then I work again till 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if I can help now, that's 6 hours, that's 7 hours of bullshit that could have been done during the day. Because that's how that's the power of the tool. It's now I'm going to take a photo and it's going to update everything for me. Or I'm going to enter it there. Or I'm going to take a voice note and it's going to update the project. Or whatever happened, however we structure it, if I can build this stuff that is taking you longer or creating double forms of entry and get it done throughout the day so that by the end of the day, you go home or you find more work because now you're not worried about having to send out those 10 quotes and finish that estimate that you started yesterday, but you know, have another 5 days to, you know, it changes that.
But what happens is that they delay the process of getting the estimate out because in their mind, they know how long it takes to do that estimate. Yeah. But they haven't been educated on how that estimate could be more streamlined to get done sooner and get into the client's hands faster for you to get an answer whether or not you're being hired to do that task.
And the impact that has on growth, right? For us, the reason why we don't use that language is because we can't quantify it. I can't sit with you and say, today, with this tool, we're going to add 40 points to your back-end
profit. No, you can't do that, right?
And it's impossible, you know,
they have to do that on their own, but that's after they have, you know, minimum 6 months of data of doing things differently, then they can start calculating what the next 6 months are going to be like.
And for some people, it's not all about growth, like Nick was saying about getting your time back. Some people just don't want to be working their week.
Right, that's totally growth at that point.
Yeah.
And that's why we created the trial, because you said it. Everybody needs to be able to touch and feel it, especially in construction.
Yeah.
It's what they understand. So we wanted to create something that lets you, one, touch and feel it, but two, pick the features that you want to fool around with. And then three, actually start coming up with ideas to the way that they want to work. They want that feature to work, because that's the other element of going custom. It's, you know, everybody, the estimation process, for instance, some may say could be standardized, but nobody does it the same way. Everybody has a quirk.
Yeah, everybody has their own version of it. Yeah.
So let's build it that way. So that you're doing what you do just faster, instead of now saying, okay, I got to figure out how to use this tool, and then I got to plug in this tool, and then I got to get it out and turn it into a quote and a nice proposal, and then I got to send it over.
I know, but isn't there value speaking to you guys where it's like, I'd rather speak to somebody who's actually seen hundreds or thousands of different versions of estimates, and then they can give me insight on what I'm either missing or actually what is working really well with my own estimates, right? Like I remember early in the days of construction, everybody always kept their contracts and their estimate and their pricing. They never shared any of that information. They didn't want to share that information.
You know, we still see that. Some people don't want us to share their proprietary secrets, and you know, we acknowledge that and don't share. But for other people, they want their message to get out there and don't mind helping because they want that help as well.
I agree. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, I guess the 80s and 90s, there was a certain percentage that companies would spend on marketing expenditures, right? Mm-hmm. So based on your gross revenue, I think it was like a 5 or 10%.
Wait a second. Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to come close. Hold on. I'm going to throw this one at you. When did that stop becoming part of the accounting conversation? A percentage of marketing.
When did it stop?
Yeah.
It always stops dead hard, breaks red, like red hot when the economy changes. Always. It's the first thing.
Which is crazy to me.
100% I disagree. It's the first thing that should get doubled at that moment. Like during these hard economical times, you should be incredibly more efficient with your marketing expenditures trying to figure out how to streamline your business too. Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. That's where the money should be going. Even though you don't have it, that's when you do it.
Yeah, you need it.
You don't go into the gym and keep on lifting the same weight that you lift a year ago. You're adding more of it. If you start getting complacent and just start lifting the same weight, you're not going to grow. So it's the same thing. So that my point is, I'm getting at is that now is the time that you should be figuring out what your marketing plan is, and you should be doubling that. And then also running your business and how to streamline it, you should be figuring out how much money I should be spending on that to make it work.
But I think that's where people get bogged down. I think it's what when they hear marketing,
we can't do it.
It's also I hear marketing, so I hear sales, so I'm trying to sell. But it's marketing and sales are two different departments, and there's more to just the marketing conversation. It goes back to efficiency. If you don't have time to actually work on your business and the brand and the message and actually the method of marketing, selling not going to happen. You're going to sell as a byproduct of being where you are. Where what you're talking about is, first of all, understanding that there should be a budget for it. Plan for it at least 12 months in advance. Because in 12 months, when you got to start the year again, a new year, new me, that marketing budget better be there, because otherwise that new year is going to be really fucking
tough. I'm talking to businesses that have spent like upwards to like $35K on Google AdWords.
Monthly.
Over a 6 month period. Mm-hmm. And I just said, what was the ROI on that? And they were like zero. And I'm like, that would have been a conversation on the first month to figure out, how do I change whatever's happening there if I stay on board to continue? Or do I look into the future and think 6 months down the line, we're going to be spending $35K and we would have got zero ROI as a result of it?
Potentially. I would say 6 months, you got to start asking questions sooner, but maybe not the first, because it's where a lot of the times you do need that testing. You need
to establish it. Yeah.
You need to establish it. You need the testing to figure out what works. It's amazing how scientific.
But in today's digital age, I mean, you could test a bunch, but now we go back to time. Who's going to sit there
and test it? Well, you could test a bunch of stuff, but it costs money.
It costs money to do that.
Yeah. And there's safer ways to go about it. I mean, rather than saying I'm going to put $35,000 and it's going to be the next 6 months, I'm going to start with 1,000 and I'm going to test a bunch of shit. And the ones that show the most promise, I'm going to dial up the volume.
Multiply,
and
then amplify.
But back to that point, that isn't something that you're sitting over coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's, I need an hour for that. We need to actually come up with the strategy. We need to speak to our employees. We need to speak to our clients. We need to understand what they want and how they communicate so we can build a message and then put that down and then figure the channel that we're going to use, whether it's social or we're going to go traditional or we're going to whatever it is. But that's not an hour conversation once a week. Now that's a regular.
Businesses don't do that. They do it for safety talks. Mm-hmm. It's almost religious for good companies to do it every Monday or every mm-hmm. start of the day. They'll have their safety toolbox talk, yep. tailgate, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But they'll do it for on-site conversations, depending on the scope of work on that particular day, week, or whatever. They'll just, we'll have a big group meeting. We'll talk about, okay, you guys are doing this. You guys are doing, everyone's on. But nobody does it in the office. Nobody, you know why? Because the owner is, you got to set up a four-way mirror, because then he can talk to himself to figure out what's going on in all channels of the business. But that's where I go back to, you need to be hiring these people to mm-hmm. be working with you to help you on the office side, because you've already figured out the safety and the on-site, but the office you haven't figured out, and the business you haven't figured out, mm-hmm. and you're refusing to hire somebody to help you with that figuring out part, right?
Yeah, just like you're going to hire those specialty trades. You hire your marketing team, your software guys, and you get the advice you need.
But it's hard to argue with these kids that are running a business and the economy sucks and now they're just pulling back. They're doing the cardinal marketing rule mistake. They're pulling back. We don't have the money for it. I can't spend it. I can't do it. I got to keep on just surviving. I'm in survival mode, so I'm going to keep on doing it. Here's my carbon copy invoice. And no, that's not going to make you survive this properly, right?
It goes back to the beginning of the conversation. We're talking about being an entrepreneur. More times than not, the reason why entrepreneurs survive is because when most people put their foot on the brake,
they put on the gas. Yeah. I know.
And that's, and what you, the people do, that are putting your foot on the brake are saying, whoa, slow down. You fucking crazy. It's going to be a problem. And they're like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And they keep driving. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a problem. That can't be ignored. Sometimes you do run into something.
Well, that's why there's a steering wheel.
And that's why you just keep on driving. You just keep on driving. Wait for the clear.
You don't slow down. Yeah. You veer.
Just
you
know what I mean? Just keep going.
You
just
go around.
There'll be a clear somewhere.
Yeah, eventually.
And yeah, so.
Okay, back to the business. I wanted the client of yours. I wanted like how they got started and how it ended.
So now it's we built the stack of features based on the everyday. And then the cool thing about the way things are going now, it's they're coming up with ideas. Hey, can we do this? Hey, we heard about what, you know, OpenAI is doing with their new agent. Can we incorporate some of that stuff to start doing this stuff? And it's like, yeah, we can. And because, again, it's custom and it's doesn't have to take 8 months to build. It took, you know, a couple days here, a couple hours here, whatever. But now it's a tweak, we're fine. And it's now something that they're using tomorrow.
Yeah, typically our builds are around the 4 to 6 week mark, and you have, you know, your fully functioning tool. Give it to you ahead of time so you could, you know, play around with it, tweak it. But yeah, typically everybody comes to us for things like estimating, time tracking, purchase orders, scheduling, timesheets, invoicing. Integrations with their current accounting software like QuickBooks, Xero, Sage, things like that. A lot of times building in AI features. So even if it's a matter of snapping a photo of your receipt, invoice, PO, uploading that to the system, guys are really still taking notes down on pen and paper. So imagine walking down around the site, doing their takeoff, typically more for renovations, things like that. But now you don't have to spend that time, you know, manually punching that into your system. You could take a photo and have your estimate automatically created.
You, like Company Cam is doing a great job right now, but because we don't have any limitations to, you know, we don't make decision by committee. Mm-hmm. So it's, what do you want? Oh, you want it to be able to do that? Okay, can we, let's see if the tech exists or build it so that it can, and there you go.
So you guys take Company Cam and integrate it into yours and then put it together?
No, we'll build the features,
there's certain
tiers.
Oh,
so people come to us again, like they love what Company Cam is doing, what other platforms are doing, but again, it's sometimes too much or it's not enough. So then, you know, we pick the best of everything and build those features accordingly for our client.
Yeah. So now you don't have four platforms; you have one, and it's only comprised of the features that you're going to use every day.
But doesn't that get more expensive if you're doing that, or does it get less expensive?
If you're going the traditional full code aspect of, you know, hiring a team of coders, UI designers, that takes 12 months to build and a couple hundred thousand dollars. With us, we're on the low code development side, which means we could build a lot quicker. Think of a modular home where you ever see those videos where they take a crane and put together all the rooms.
Yeah.
But now you're picking your features, you're putting in the rough in. So think of that rough in as our back end development. The front end are all your finishes. You get to choose what you want. But now that only takes 4 weeks and a few $1,000s. That's the difference. So now, obviously, the more features you choose, it's going to cost a little bit more. But that's why there's, you know, our typical build of 4 to 6 weeks with a variance. And you have this stuff for a few $1,000s and you could get going, save the money of the whole full code development, save the money compared to going to the off-the-shelf platforms out there.
Yeah.
But now also save the time because you're actually using the platform the way you want rather than platform, Excel sheet, paper, and you're not really getting the benefit of that platform.
Now, we've been part of the full code conversation a few times, but with the way technology is evolving, unless you're trying to sell this thing on the App Store or the Android Store, and you're trying to turn it into a full-time business, it almost doesn't make sense to one, spend it, and two, you know, the time it takes to actually turn over a tool and then test it and then everything else associated with it. And then technology evolves and you're 8 months in development and now you got to change a bunch of shit because it's not new anymore. Yeah, yeah. Like there's so many, I don't want to use the word drawback because full code development does offer a lot of extreme benefits, but it has its application. And for what guys are looking for when it comes to building something to help make the office life easier and to be able to do it, you know, for, you know, a few grand, once it's yours, label it, brand it, it's yours, offer it to customers if they need to log in and see some shit, it's yours.
Yeah. It's easier once it's all set up. Mm-hmm. Do most clients come to you guys and bring their grocery list of what's not working? And I'm assuming that list is always greater than what's working.
Yes.
That we ask for that. Because in order for it to be built so that you actually use it, we need to know the potholes to avoid.
Yeah.
That's an essential ingredient.
Because I can only assume that a lot of people have tried a lot of the softwares that are out there, but they haven't really, I don't see that many people just praising every single aspect of every single program. There's always pit hole. Like,
I haven't met anybody yet that praises every aspect of a program they're on right now. That being said, there are, again, there's some really cool tools and they have their fit, and the fit that they've targeted fits extremely well. More times than not though, there is a list. And those are the items that are essential to making sure that from a learning curve, it's simple to use.
What are some of the top, like, three kind of things on the list that you see repeated over and over? I'm guessing around invoicing, I'm guessing things like that.
So around the features, yes.
Okay.
But it all comes down to it being complex.
Yeah.
It's complex. I got to click five different buttons.
People just give up, right?
Yeah, you got to click five different buttons to get to that feature, to get to that feature, to get to that feature.
And then I want to find it. Accomplish it. But then find it, it takes another 10 minutes. And then it's hard to save it because it takes 10 steps and people only like to do three. So most people don't save it, or they save it somewhere else, or it's in a text message, or it's in a WhatsApp group and I need to be able to have it here. That's a big one. It's, I need to have all of the information that's important to this project right here. Yeah. Can we do that? All
and,
sources.
Are just and easy that. For people to find that are not tech savvy. Like the other, that's aside from...
No, they're not. I know.
Aside from the issues that people are coming to us, you know, like Nick was saying about being able to evolve with the new tech coming out there, the big thing that you're going to keep hearing this year is AI agents. That's one thing that we could build for people that's specific to them. That, again, now gives us a leg above all those other platforms, but works for you. So are you familiar with AI agents?
Yes, because I get bombarded with it all the time. Okay. I think I'm getting bombarded all the time. And I have a little trick that I do that I ask a pretty generic personal question that's associated with the lead that they reached out to me for or with. And then when they don't answer the question, I know that I'm not speaking to a person. I'm speaking to an AI agent.
Okay. So
that's my thought process. Am I right or wrong? I don't know.
Okay. So what I meant as an AI agent in simplest form, like everybody's familiar with ChatGPT and using that. That's the first level of AI. You know, you're talking to it. As soon as that AI is going to go do a task for you, now that's an agent. Simplest term for it.
Oh, so, okay. So the action is the agent.
The action is the agent. As soon as it's performing that action or task, now it's considered an agent. So that's going to be big in 2025 and the next few years. So now we're able to build that level of action for your company. So now it's not just an estimating tool or purchase order tool and all that. We could go beyond that, you know, analyze and watch their inbox. Did somebody send me a bid request? Cool. Let me now have AI scrape that, throw it into my app, do something with that, give me a notification, start preparing, let's say, an estimate. Like now we could go beyond just the traditional traditional features that everybody's offering. And because this is all custom and we're able to build it so quickly and iterative, you know, and we don't have to get that approved by our marketing team and board and 12 months of development, you give us a call. What do you want us to build? Cool. A couple of weeks, you got it built.
So why is like... Attention subcontractors and skilled trades. Are you looking for your next big opportunity? 2x2 Construction is expanding and is on the hunt to grow our top-tier network of professionals. Whether you're a carpenter, plumber, or roofer, etc., if you can deliver top-quality craftsmanship, offer competitive pricing, and your communication is where we shine, we want to hear from you. At 2x2 Construction, we value strong partnerships. From multiplexes to garden suites, we're all about building better together, and we want you to be a part of it. Reach out today at info@2x2construction.ca or connect with us on Instagram at 2x2 Construction. Join the 2x2 Construction team where great work meets great people. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I know everyone's talking AI, and I know lots of people that are on chat, right? And they use it, including myself, right? But why is it that when I ask a pretty generic question that I think should receive a pretty clear and concise answer, I get something that's like a Rubik's Cube? I don't understand why
it's not Google.
Okay,
so this is the big,
so I'm being told that you have to prompt it a certain way.
But even still, you're if you're giving a generic question, you're going to get a generic answer.
But also still, it's also only it's a learning model, so it's only going to give you information based on what it's learned
to date. But you just assume that it has all the learning capabilities, which whatsoever. But it's wrong.
Always. And it's not always structured in the way that you're expecting to receive an answer. So this is where I think it's important, you know, we really need to start looking at this as an extremely powerful tool rather than make life do everything for me.
The way you speak to the tool, meaning communicate.
The way you speak to the tool has to be like you would speak to your assistant. But also remember that it's predictive. It's not actually intelligent.
But you also have to give your assistant the answers so that what you get back from your assistant is what you need. This is where the discrepancy is. If you go on to ChatGPT and ask it to tell you what color pants you're going to wear, how do you control that?
What's the occasion? What's the weather? You got to give it a more context and parameters around, you know, and point it in the direction that you want.
I know. So let's say you start with, okay, you guys are going to have an AI tool that you're going to work with to help with your clients, right? So let's say if they just start asking questions about how do I streamline my business? Well, here's a description of my business. Here's a description of what my return on investment on, what my predictable, like for this year, gross, whatever. You give it as much as possible, and then you ask it, how do I double 2x this for 2025? How is that going to answer it versus how you guys are going to prompt it to answer it?
It'll depend on the outcome that you're actually looking for. So if you just say, you know, how can I improve my business? It's going to give you a little bit in every category.
Yeah.
That's going to be too high level and you're not really going to be able to do with it much, right? But if you ask it, you know, where can I improve in my software? And here's my current way of doing things. I'm using Excel sheet. I'm using
paper timesheets. See, that's a good question. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Amazing. So now it's going to give you, all right, implement this software for estimating and look out for these specific features. Incorporate this aspect for this. So now it's going to give you a lot more of a game plan with what to do with that software rather than just saying implement a new construction software.
I like so, that.
Okay. But now you got to keep weaning things down, because that response may still be too high level. So now you take it to the next level. Yeah. I need something that has this respective feature and processes the information like A, B, C, D, E, F.
So here's a good example. We have a feature that we built out for somebody where they were used to creating their estimates, like that example I told you. They do their takeoff walking around site, paper, pen and paper. So they write down, all right, I got 12 pod lights in this room, and 10 lights, 20 receptacles, whatever. They have their list. They put down the quantity, and they put down the dollar figure. Well, now they could take that picture, upload it to the system. Our AI is going to scrape that and develop an estimate for them or a quote that they could send to their client. Now, if this was a generic AI that you go to ChatGPT, how do you know if you want to show each line item quantity and cost to the client? Well, we've worked with our client and we know, okay, we don't want to show the cost for each one. We just want a total at the bottom. All right, so that's where we get specialized with our AI now for our client that, cool, let me just get all the line items, get rid of the quantities, get rid of the dollar figure per line item, just show the total. Now it's ready to go, click a button, and it's off to your client for e-signature. So like that's where we specialize and train the AI for you the way you want, so you don't get that generic crap that you can't actually use.
Okay, I think I get it. I understand it.
AI needs to be molded to deliver a specific result. It's not, it isn't a know-all tool that you can ask one question and it's going to give you the right answer. It's going to give you...
Well, it gives you a answer to begin with.
There you go.
Whether it's right or wrong, it gives you a answer.
So what we want to do with it is understand the result that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And then train the model so that it delivers the result consistently.
Could you use AI in the future of construction, and I'm saying future tomorrow, to make your workforce more efficient?
Yes.
You're going to have to. If you don't.
No, I agree with you, but I'm just wondering how you do that.
We've built systems to track capacity. So this requires everybody on the team being like-minded and understand that
they're inputting data. They have to input data for you to figure out where the holes are.
Now we can track it, but again, that's, you know, not everybody's comfortable with knowing that I have an app on my phone that's following how I'm working. Because, you know, not everybody that's part of a single team is there to help the company.
Yeah, let's go back to the business owner, because I guess you got two schools of construction thoughts here, right? You've got the business owner that subcontracts all the work, the scope and everything like that. Then you got the business owner that has a bunch of employees. Mm-hmm. If it's the business owner that has a bunch of employees, then all the employees should be on this app to start inputting when they start, how long a task took, all that data. So now you get a big data dump, and now you can figure out where things are getting bottlenecked, where things are moving really quickly, and how you can be more efficient on future jobs, right?
So we can do it. Exactly. It's just not it's not easy from a narrative perspective. A lot of guys are worried about finding good help, good talent, and they're that much more sensitive to what a conversation like, I'm going to start tracking your workload, is going to do to the likelihood of that individual staying with the company. So that's something that we don't typically see because of that specific reason. But we can absolutely
track it. But it would help your business, though.
Yeah.
That information. It would, and I think you have to slowly roll this stuff out to guys.
That's true.
Because if you give them this one platform that could do it all and track everything, you know, it's already tough to get them to click a button, one button every day. Well, so now if you want them to click that button multiple times to track every task throughout the day, you got to work up to that type of stuff.
But isn't that what cost consultants basically do on an everyday project? They're on site or they're reading how long things are taking, and then they're calculating, okay, what is the true cost associated?
But they're doing it for the guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is that you hire somebody and you don't, because I agree with you, to demand the workforce to do it, they're going to be like, no, man, I don't want to do any of this stuff. But then you hire a cost consultant to come on here and pay attention.
Now, we can do it in different forms, like, the projects we've done in the past are more, you know, detailed, where it's going to be on, it's going to track things, and we're going to know data. But there are ways to do it where if the guys are comfortable and they want to just put in a number, back to Agostino's point, you know, if they're not, if we need to make the tool so easy to use so that all they have to do is push one button, because we know that's all they're going to want to do. And now they got to go back in the system at the end of the day and enter in how long it took them to install that. That
they won't.
Right. So, I mean, there are extreme benefits of it. Extreme. When you plan a project and you know your workload capacity of every team member now, you can plan projects exponentially.
That's why I'm saying this is valuable. Like, as a business owner, it's valuable.
Yeah. Exponentially different.
It's irritating to the workforce.
Yes.
But it's valuable to you, the business owner. Without the business owner, you don't have any workforce. Mm. That's just reality.
I think a good middle ground with all that, instead of hiring, you know, the cost consultant or having the guys track all that tedious, you know, descriptions. What I've seen in the past is guys will do either the foreman or the site super will do it for the team. Mm. So this way,
which makes sense. You know, which now that you know, it adds something to their day, no doubt about it. But the back end benefit is, again, from a planning perspective, from a proactivity standpoint, it can't be replaced. It's phenomenally helpful when you're planning out projects, from actually figuring out your costs, because now it's no guesstimates.
I mean, what's really valuable is you have to figure out what is not working for the company. Mm. Right?
And it ebbs and flows, because when new guys come, new guys go.
Yeah.
Especially in today's landscape, you need to know what that's going to do to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And you can actually have visibility on what it does to the team.
Because you know what it does to the team when everything's working well. When everybody works together really well and it's efficient, then the production increases. So work gets done faster, and all of a sudden you finish sooner, which means it translates to profitability.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, if the team doesn't work together really well, then there's going to be issues, right? Time-wise. And then now you're making less money.
But it could also lead to growth, depending on your approach. If you're looking at it as, I have a problem and I need visibility on what those problems are so that I can correct those problems, it's something that'll help you. But what you need to know about that is the road you're about to drive on is full of shit. And it's going to be until you clean it up.
When you guys look back on time, like you know, the old school guys, like back in the day or whatever, the 80s and 90s, they didn't have any of these tools.
Correct.
But were they making money? Were they profitable? It seemed like they were. Like, but have we overcomplicated construction today where you need all these tools now?
I don't think it's a need. And this is why I say this, Manny. I don't care about it. Of course, I want you to make money.
Yeah.
My top priority is making your life easier.
Yeah.
Because the guys you're talking about, you know, a lot of them today are talking about, you hear about who had a heart attack or... Mm-hmm. Who had a stroke or has cancer or isn't getting divorced or whatever it happens to be, that's not what they started their life thinking about, but now they're in that shit and it's, how the fuck did this happen? And it's because for the last 30 years of life, they've been killing themselves to build this vision, only to end up here looking back saying, well, fucking, that was torture. When, you know, if we know that the average work week is going to be 50, 60 hours conservatively, and I can save you 15 hours so you can go home and actually enjoy a little bit, we've done our job.
You know, as a business owner, I'd probably get you guys to quantify who's going to have health problems or pass away. As morbid as this might sound, like if you've got a workforce that's coming in, smoking, drinking, energy drinking, like just like odds are that an individual is not going to have a healthy lifestyle, but then they could have issues, you know, a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, which is going to affect your business at that point. Is it wrong of you as a business owner to be calculating that, to figure it out?
You're going to start having to track a lot more detail.
Yeah.
Because then the cause and effect is if, like, you got a job going on, you've got a point person that's like, that's the go-to guy. That's my guy. That's my guy. I don't care that he smokes and drinks and he's everything. But if that person has an incident, something happens, then what happens to your
business? Can you ask that in an interview? Do you smoke? Do you drink energy drinks?
No, you see it on site. The same way that a foreman or a person... you know, is trying to track how efficient the crew is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I used to always pay attention where it's like you'd have meetings on site and then the trade would go, listen, hang on a sec, give me 10 minutes, I gotta have a smoke break. right? So then the meeting stops, the conversation stops, the work doesn't move forward, and then they're on this curbside because no smoking is allowed on the site. And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know, he's a two-pack-a-day guy, whatever. Like, odds are he's going to get something, and then what's going to happen to my business?
And it takes 20 minutes to walk across the warehouse just to get to the smoking area.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So there's a,
it's got to be a way to track it. I'm sorry, but
no, it's
listen, the insurance companies do it all the time.
That's a conversation if you'd like to jump down. Yeah, but as long as if there's data, we can track it and build a tool to actually put it in front of you. Now, with this particular conversation, we don't necessarily go at it from a mortality rate, but what we do say is if you're going to build a system that eventually we want the tool to grow into your organization to be something organic, something that helps everybody in your ecosystem function better. Mm-hmm. Get them back to what you hired them for, get them back to doing that. That being said, a lot of these guys are thinking about selling the company or that conversation. What if I get hurt or I get sick? What's the rest of the company going to do? I got people that depend on this company. But if you've built a system so that, again, you're a piece of it, but it's not dependent on it, then you're doing your job as a business owner. Because
well, that's now, the investment now, right? We talked about a percentage allocated towards marketing, a percentage to allocate into operating a more efficient business. You should be allocating a percentage in the future of actually having an opportunity to sell your business. In the beginning, 15 years ago, nobody ever talked about selling the business. They never thought about it as a brand that could be sold to another person. I think it was
more of, I'm going to pass this down to one of my
kids.
Exactly.
But then if you don't have any kids or you don't have anybody to pass it on to, then your business dies with you.
Or your kid doesn't want it.
Or the kid, exactly. That can happen too, as we see with the workforce.
Or I'm now going to pass it, whether I sell it or give it to my kid, but it's a catastrophe. Because I've been doing it everything up here.
Exactly, and that's the thing. So the more you streamline, the more you prepare it, so then it's literally someone else can fill in the blanks. They come in, take over, they give you a check, and you move on, and now you've built something that someone else is interested in having. Mm-hmm.
Which from a financial standpoint changes the value substantially. Because if I'm, if you know, put yourself in the buyer's shoes. I'm going to buy a company. I have two options. I have the one that the owner has to be there. If the owner doesn't show up on this,
there's no
fucking
business.
Disaster.
But you can't,
they're making great money.
Yeah.
But then I got the other one that's not making as much money, but the owner is there 3 days a week.
Doesn't need
or he's out looking for projects because at the office and everywhere else, he's not really needed.
It's the second business I want because then now I have the potential to grow this. Without this individual, it's like when you're talking about ideas or whatever, you could easily just ask, listen, the owner of the business, if they get hit by a bus tomorrow, they're gone. Is that business survivable? Mm-hmm. If it's not, without that individual, then you haven't set up a business properly.
And I don't, to go back to your point earlier, if you've thought to yourself, I have a second and third in command that is helping me run my company so I can step back and enjoy it more.
Yeah,
you still have the same problem.
Yes.
You haven't really, because if that person, because we've seen it where a second in command gets a better offer. It's not always necessarily they got sick. It's they found a better deal.
Yeah.
And that 10 years with the company that you've been building this vision got snapped away.
I see that all the time with people with small businesses where it's like their head guy, their lead guy, their best guy decided to just leave. And now they're in a shitstorm trying to figure out how do I survive on this current job and the next few jobs that I have going on. Yeah. Well, you didn't set up your business correctly that if they did leave, you can still survive well without them.
Yeah. These are big, big things.
Nobody, like the majority, I'm assuming, construction workers are not preparing for any of this stuff.
Goes back to the questions you think that they should be asking. And that's definitely one of them.
But everybody talks about getting off the tools, not being in the business so much, spending more time with my family, my personal time, whatever. But they're not really doing things to achieve that.
We could help you on the software side.
We can definitely help you there. But
that makes the business, you guys are tying a nice bow on the business. Mm-hmm. Where if someone comes in and they see it from the side, which always said, they're always looking at businesses. They're like, listen, this is an attractive business. I could take this business and make it grow 10x, whatever it is.
But it's also, you know, we're also working with the accountant, right? Because if you actually have a bookkeeper or an accountant that is helping you understand the financial decisions of an organization, which isn't always, because back to your point earlier, which is as long as there's money in the bank, I'm good. Just keep going. But when you introduce these people in your life and you have regular conversation with them, and more importantly, you're helping them create visibility to what's actually happening in the project.
Yeah.
Making a decision about spending 50 grand this year on marketing doesn't become that difficult. It becomes actually something that is planned for, but now you're having different conversations about the company. Today, I'm doing my $1 million project. 5 years from now, I want it to be a $5 million project. Yeah. But in those, along that way, it's more than just the house that you sold or that project that you won. It's, well, how much money is it actually going to take to get that project, the marketing? Then are you going to be able to staff it? Then are you actually going to be able to build it with the expertise that you staffed with?
Yeah.
And everything other, but that's a financial management conversation. And if you're creating visibility around that conversation, now you can actually say, I'm making progress towards that $5 million project, that $10 million, whatever it happens to be. But now you can actually make the decision, make progress with confidence because you have that team that's around you pushing you in the right direction.
But how do you leverage today's economy? And that's the instinctive way of doing things in construction. We pull back on everyday expenditure. Mm-hmm. Then that basically you're saying to yourself, we're not going to grow at all this year. Because that's the truth of it.
The other element of it, though, Manny, is it's hard to say I'm going to pull back on everyday expenditure if you're not actually tracking every expenditure. When you have clear
you're tracking the big ones. That's all you're doing. That's wrong. You should be tracking everything.
Every $100 counts.
No, I agree. Every dollar counts.
Right. But now if I actually know where every dollar is going, it might not be so tight.
I challenge any small business, construction business owner.
Yeah.
Where's all your money being spent?
$5,000 a year on marketing is better than zero.
100%.
$1,000 a year on marketing is better than zero. It got in front of somebody that started a conversation that's better than being a name in the yellow pages.
Yeah. Well, how do you justify it to the guys that they just can't afford it? They look at it. Well, the question is, you can't afford not to do it.
That it's not a justification. It really is a sink or swim situation.
Yeah.
The statistics in construction are fucking atrocious. The success rate, it hasn't changed. Well, especially it's gotten worse.
Oh, yeah.
I think the rate, and we've actually talked about this a couple of times, where it's the, you know, in the first 10 years, 30% survive, or less than that, actually. And then after the first 5 years, that actually drops. And then after 10 years, it drops again. So if you want to be a 15-year company, you know, you're 25 years old. You're full of piss and fucking vinegar. Let's go. By the time you're 40, the likelihood that you're going to be out of business,
that was very good,
is over 80%.
80.
So
I would look at it this way. You want $5,000 to streamline your business, to start putting, you know, software to make it grow better. Figure out where you're going to find that $5,000. If that means you got to go to your lumber supplier and go, and listen, I understand that this sheet of ply is X amount. I need you to sell me this ply at this amount. And you start creating a tally, and then guess what? You'll find $5,000 to find, to build the software that you need to grow your business now. That's $5,000 you didn't have. And all it took was you going to all your suppliers and going, listen, you need to shave some points on this. You need to shave some points on this. Get rid of the coffees. Like, I don't like seeing pickup trucks in front of Starbucks. It makes no fucking sense in today's climate, right? Figure out another way to get coffee, right? If you're going down to Colombia and you're doing a trip, then bring some beans and get a grinder and start making the coffee on site, right? That's what I'm just saying, is like, find the money that you need to, because you're going to be better off than the business, the competition that's saying, we're pulling back on everything, period. This is how we're doing it. We're going to survive. I guarantee you the person who finds the $5,000 to implement software in their business is going to grow further than the person who pulled back on everything. I guarantee you.
For sure. And the other thing, and it's an important part of our model. Don't buy software just to buy software. The other problem
has to have a purpose.
But exactly. but to that point, when you're starting out, you don't need the software to do everything for you. You don't have you still have enough time to do certain elements in your company where you don't have to go and spend $500 a month on software. Get one feature that helps you with your invoicing, because right now that's the part of your day that's killing you, because now instead of finding work, instead of going to do the job, you're stuck at home for 3 hours that you need to sleep because you got to go back on the tools tomorrow. You're doing your paperwork. Just get those features, and we can give you just those features. So now, instead of you building this or having to take on this tool, take the parts that you need.
Yeah.
And then build as you need them. But make sure that you're having that, you're asking those questions. In 10 years, what does my company look like? And what are the pieces that I need if I reverse engineered that picture today so that that's reality? And you now need to make that a constant conversation.
We do that regarding the construction side of the business. We don't do that regarding the business side of the construction business.
Yeah, that's how you justify, you know, you said, how do you justify spending the money on this stuff? Because it's really not that expensive, man. Like, it's not like you need $100,000 to grow your business with a few thousand bucks. You know, you don't have the five to get all the features and to build the entire platform of what you need. Start small. Start with a couple grand on one feature.
Dude, I just
and save yourself a shit ton of time.
I just shared how you find that $5,000.
Yeah.
Like, if you ain't doing that, then you're dumb. Like, I'd be pissing off my suppliers going, I'm sorry, I don't care. I don't want to pay that price. I want to pay $100 less. That's what I want to pay. Yeah. I want to ask you guys, as we get closer to wrapping it up, I want to figure out, are you guys assisting regarding legally speaking situations in construction? Because construction and legal is synonymous, right? So I'm assuming if there's way to prevent legal scenarios.
So then give us an example.
Well, everybody is always a last resort. Clients are not paying. All of a sudden, the first thought is, I'm going to put a lien on this, right? Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, in today's tech and software, if there's other ways of doing things before you get to that point where you start making legal threats on either side. It's like, are there smart collective AI ways of doing things to get paid? Mm. I don't know. Are those conversations coming up right now?
So from that perspective, we haven't built out too much on the legal side of things, but definitely from the documentation and capturing even photos, notes, and information throughout the project. At least you have that as your backup and proof if you need to get into that situation. So definitely from a documentation and status updates, you know, you're at a certain stage in the project, snap some photos, input that into your system with notes and descriptions of what happened, who was on site, the amount of guys, whether you're a GC, you know, which trades were there. So more from that side on a compliance can definitely help you out. But yeah, I'm not 100%. A lawyer, so I can't really speak to exactly what would help you, but definitely we track, you know, you can track all that information.
Yeah, but is there a way to put a nice bow around that to kind of tell the client that owes you money, don't go down this path because I'm well prepared because of the way I've set up my business?
Well, yeah, if you have the proof.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just to give them a little nudge going, don't go down this path because, listen, this is what you're going to be up against and you're going to eventually lose and you'll lose a lot.
One of the elements that we do a lot of is in the communication spectrum. So as a CRM function, a customer relationship management function, they'll want something that is consistently following up with clients or sharing information with clients. But it starts with what's being documented. So pictures, notes, conversations on chat boards, emails. So giving them a centralized place and a backup of all of that, one, helps the business owner or the project manager know where everything is, but then also, you know, incorporating the client in that conversation from the beginning says exactly what you're saying. You can't say to me, you'll never be able to say to me anywhere on this timeline that I didn't have the information.
Yep.
So if
it was full transparency here.
If at the end of the project you're thinking about pulling some funny business, you see everything I see, and it's a lot of information that I have a single location for.
Build the future you dream of with Generbation Construction. Your home is where life happens, where your style shines, and where your future begins. Whether it's your first home, a space for growing family, or a place all your own, you need a builder who understands your vision and brings it to life. At Generbation Construction, they ensure your home is everything you've imagined. Greg, the visionary behind Generbation Construction, knows that today's homeowners, they want more than just walls. They want a space that reflects who they are. At Generbation Construction, they don't just build houses, they craft homes that are uniquely yours. With a reputation for excellence, trust, and a commitment to working with the best, Generbation Construction offers a seamless, stress-free experience that ensures your home stands strong for years to come. Contact Generbation Construction today at 705-961-5562 in the Muskoka area and 647-381-0361 in the Greater Toronto Area, or visit them at www.generationconstructionltd.com. For inquiries, email Greg at greg@generationconstructionltd.com. Let's build your dream project together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So, if
which
I
will definitely help, right?
Now it's all I have to do is push a button and send it to my lawyer, and they can take care of the rest. Because that's what they're, I mean, if you know, nobody wants to go there.
Nope. That's what I'm just saying. The best thing is to avoid going there.
Mm-hmm. The reason it costs as much money as it does is because a lawyer's going to sit in his room or her room with their team, and they're going to go through the documents. But now you got to provide those documents.
Yeah.
So you got to look in all your drives and all your
and emails. And wherever there's a hole, the opposing lawyer will actually pounce all over that hole, right?
But they're also going to, that your team is also going to say, okay, well, there's a hole here.
Yeah.
And if I said, here's a flash drive, or I'm going to email you a share drive, and you have everything on this project from the moment we signed the contract to the moment we closed it out, and every communication in between it, it changes the dynamic of that particular.
Yeah, it's just basically, just don't go down this road, simple as that, right? But I'm assuming that's what happens. That's another residual effect of hard economical times.
Yeah.
You get clients who just don't want to pay, right? Because they can't be put in a financial situation. So then they just decide on the contractor, I'm not going to pay you.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, totally.
People are also doing it, like, it's fucking terrible. But it's also some of the reasons why some of these contractors aren't taking the jobs, because they know that at a particular threshold, the person spending the money, is he going in it with a thought process of, if I don't pay them, they're not going to go to court because the project is going to be less than the legal bills, so I'll get the job for free and they can go fuck themselves. It's terrible. It's terrible.
I just had a thought about how you could, the contractor pays the client as the work is progressing.
Tell me more.
Pay all up front and then start giving.
Or like all the money is paid, I think, and there should be a system where the client pays the full amount to a third party, and then that contractor goes in and withdraws that amount every time the work is done. It's just constantly withdrawn. So now the client is fully invested in the project, because like you said, I agree with you, there's projects that you'll be interviewing a client, you'll be like offering up a quote for it, but in the back of your head, you're thinking to yourself, this client might want to screw me over at some point, and I'm getting a bad feeling here. So then the question becomes, you need to pay the full amount to a third-party trust or whatever, and every time the work is done, we keep chipping away and removing that amount. As long as we're bringing documentation, photographs, and completion of every stage of the construction, then the third party says, okay, great, we signed off, we were on site.
Yeah.
Then the client is fully invested.
I think you're onto something here. You probably have to cut this part out of the podcast.
I don't know, but I'm just wondering if that, but I think a lot of clients would have a hard time writing that full amount. Let's say it's a $100,000 project. Let's say it's $1 million project.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's where the, you know, they start doing the math like, okay, I got 8 months to pay this whole thing. Yeah. Let's do progress draws because I can
I'll figure out where I'm going to get that. I'll figure out. But then that's what starts to create the friction where it's like, I don't have the final payment. I don't have the final. And so you're like, you're just avoiding taking the last piece of pizza. That's all it is. I want the whole pie in the bank and then I take it out as I'm doing the work. So now the onus is on me, right? Client's argument is going to be like, well, what's to say that you can just take all the money? I go, you can't because the trust will not release until you've proven that the work has been done.
Yeah, it'd be like a real estate transaction.
Basically.
Right, you can actually probably, you can pretty well use the same representatives. Now you have one on each side that have brokered the conversation, set up the trust. You can do it in yours. But there's a legal document that says you can't fuck me under these respective terms.
And you draw as you build. Right? I don't know. I was thinking a great idea, there's probably something there, but someone else could figure that one out, right?
Yeah, that one's a good one.
No, I just bring it up because someone just sent me a message. Literally just we're about to record and there's like, listen, you got time to talk. I am in a legal situation. I'm like, oh great. I just responded, give me until 4:00, I'll be wrapped up by then.
Fuck.
Right? And so I don't like that's the message. I'm in a legal situation. I want to get your opinion.
Contract up front is the biggest help because you can smell somebody who's trying to fuck you the moment you give them something to sign.
I know, because there has. I get it. We've all been there, right?
And then documentation throughout.
The documentation is 100%. The fewer holes, if ideally no holes whatsoever, everything's perfect and it's all there. It's like literally, you know, Stevie Wonder can look at it and go, I totally see all of this, man. This is perfect, right? Then the client will not screw you over, I guarantee you, because they don't have an opportunity to go, oh, look, there's a hole.
And this is where, like, you know, even being able to snap photos of the job while it's happening and giving it to the client, like, here, this is what we did today.
But that's what you guys do. So, like, okay, contractors are really good at making holes and filling holes. That's their objective. They love digging a hole and they love filling it in with concrete forms, whatever, framing and building, right? But in their business, they don't do it. It frustrates me because they know there's a hole there. There's a hole there and there's a hole there, but it's on paper. And they have a hard time understanding how to fill that hole in there.
I think they find it sometimes intimidating. Intimidating because they either don't understand it or don't want to spend the time on it. And I don't mean like they don't understand it because they don't want to, you know, like it's just not their specialty. Their specialty is building, right? So it's something that they don't want to apply themselves to do.
Your software, what you guys need to do, I guarantee this will work. Okay? Here's another idea. You need to change the cursor arrow into an excavator arm.
I like it. Can we cut that part out? That's proprietary.
I'm
now.
Serious. I would, as a contractor, I'd be like, hey, and if you give it a sound, if you get a sound too, like hydraulic sounds and stuff, it's just going.
Every time they click,
be like Roblox. Now you get to pick your sound.
I bet you every contractor would want that mouse, right? So, and even if you change the shape of the mouse into the actual body of the excavator, and then it's got the jog and everything, right? That the joystick. I'm telling you the truth, man. They'll totally want to. They'll be on site with it. Setting it up right by the safety station, putting the computer right there and go, what's that? That's my excavator mouse, right? I'm going to get all my shit done now.
I can love it.
Just take it. Run with it, man.
I'm telling you.
Anything else you guys, because I know you guys are all about it's accessibility, affordability, and flexibility. Simple as that, right?
Yeah. Well put.
And I'm definitely encouraging everybody to start like, listen, this is when you do not pull back. You're going to be a lot further if you don't pull back here and you start moving forward. You're going to have a much better 2025. As much as I've been telling everybody, 2025 is going to be a hard year. It's going to be harder than 2024. I'm telling you that right now. And 2026 is still a rebound year. I've been telling everybody it ain't happening until 27 that we're going to start to see a push into a positive side space. But the businesses that have set up and not pulled back and understood how to move forward and get more efficient and save those dollars every so often, telling you, man, you can haggle your suppliers to get a cheaper piece of plywood. You know what I mean? And find that few thousand dollars that you need to actually grow your business on the software side of things, right?
Thanks, Manny. This is great, man.
That's it. Anything else you guys want to share? No, the 30-day free trial. Reach out to you guys. Revelate.com. Nick at Revelate.com. On IG, Revelate.int. I-N-C. Sorry, I-N-C. Inc. Yeah. I-N-C. There's so many letters, man. Go build your own. I know all 26 of them.
Well, thanks, man.
That's it. We're out of here.